Welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast.
July 1st, 2018, episode 138, Coffee 2. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a bonus edition of the Coffee Maker's Corner Podcast. Actually, this is the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast, and I am Kevin England. This is a beekeeping podcast, but we did something a little different a few weeks ago, and I spent some time with beekeeper David Waldman, who owns and operates Rojo's Roastery in Lambertville, New Jersey. As I said with that episode, which if you haven't listened to, I would recommend you stop here and listen to that one first. Dave and I spoke of coffee of about 3 hours. And this particular episode is the back part of that interview and is added on as an additional bonus. I personally am an extremely novice coffee roaster, and when I interviewed Dave about beekeeping back in episode 93, we made a pact to do a session on coffee, and these two bonus editions, the one I spoke about a moment ago and this one, were the outcome. This episode is a little softer than the first in the premise of information conveyed, but there were still enough little odds and ends to make it an interesting listen. It literally picks up where we left off on the previous episode, which is we had just fired up the roaster, and I got to roast some coffee with David guiding me through the process. He roasted earlier in the episode, and in this one, I'm the one that's actually controlling the heat and the roasting process. So we started by dumping the green beans in the machine and taking the batch through an entire roast. We chat here and there about different topics throughout. We talk some of his work to build out the Lambertville location. We speak a little bit about coffee extraction. I ask about taking coffee on the go, and, well, you get the gist by now. We just chat about random topics until we finished up the day. There was a little tale to the end of this that I didn't present. Dave and I were talking as we were gathering things up at the end of the day, and the distraction of us cleaning up and banging around and doing other things didn't make a lot of sense. It was just too difficult to listen to. I will temper expectations for this one to say it's more akin to bonus footage of the first conversation versus a second round of really insightful, tons of me asking questions. But again, I think it has a few interesting tidbits, so I'll share the rest and hope that you'll find value in parts of the conversation. Okay, so with no further fanfare, Coffee 2.
So this is Colombia Nariño.
Okay.
This crop just came in a couple days ago. Do you want to give it a shot?
Yeah, sure. I'm game. Just tell me where to...
Yeah, I'll be right here. At a really good temperature to dump it in.
Is the hopper closed before I load this?
Yep. I'll do the clock.
So you think we're ready?
Yep. Just lift it up.
We're just going to fly down here.
Is this for the unwieldy Great. People? They misbehave?
Oh, that's called a trier. That's a... Well, that too.
It looks like a...
But that's a way to take a true sample
out
of coffee.
Yeah?
No, out of a burlap bag.
Ah.
You poke it, and it's geometrically... These are like $200.
Yeah.
It's geometrically designed with ASTM standards.
Okay.
To give you... You poke it through, you push it down, and then you go like that, rotate it, and pull it out. It's meant to give you a representative sample of the bag, so you're not getting you know, maybe better beans that they put in at the end towards the top of the bag, or worse beans at the bottom or whatever. Yeah.
And the bag seals itself?
Yeah. It's self-healing mostly.
So we're watching where it drops. It's at 192. It went up. We missed it.
So the rise is, yeah, the rise is like 52 or 53.
Yeah.
So there's a little lever here.
Yep, turn it up or down.
So, not yet, but at a minute and a half, turn it up to 3.
At what time?
Right now, go ahead.
Which way is up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then let's see what happens. And then we'll watch our temperature.
16, 217, 218.
So look at the zero. So that's maybe 5 or 6 tenths of a. So it's almost, it's 28, 30 minutes, 30 degrees per minute, the rise. It's 0.7, it's 0.4, 0.0, 8. So it's like 7 tenths of a degree per, so 7 times 6.
42.
That's 40 something. So that's kind of hot, but it'll slow down. Six.
So it's going up 6 now.
So 5, 6.
So 6.
So 6, that's like 36. Here we're at,
that's 7.
And what we're looking at is this degree of rise. So let's do it this way. Turn it down a little bit.
Okay.
To 2.7. 2.6. Yeah. And let's see if we can get 300 degrees at like 420 or 4.5 minutes. We're at like 320 now. We won't, but we'll be close enough. But that's what you do, is when you figure out where you want to be, then the goal is to figure out how do you get there without making extreme, radical, quick changes in temperature.
So do you ever plot, I'm assuming you're plot testers, but you used to plot them, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I've got a wireless data logger for this one that I'm installing. It'll put it right on my computer screen. So we'll be at about 4 minutes.
So we're at 4 minutes and we're at 295.
Right, so I said 420, maybe we'll be 415 or something, which is fine.
300 now, at 412.
That's good.
Yeah.
So now we're going to leave it there and just keep track of, get a drink of water, keep track of what it's doing.
So right now it's going up 0.4 of a degree each bounce. Four to three or 0.4 of a degree each one. We're at 5 minutes in.
24. That's good.
When do you start pulling this out?
You can now if you want. Whenever you want, you can. No, no, turn it.
How do you know when it's up?
You with see that nail?
Yeah,
that
okay.
Means it's up. When it's at 12 o'clock.
So it smells like peanuts and it's pretty yellow.
Yep.
Golden.
It's like straw color. So,
yeah, straw color, yeah.
And then turn it back down with the nail at 6 o'clock, right. And then you turn it to 12 o'clock before that. Do it as frequently as you want.
It hasn't changed that much, so I want to cut a little longer.
At this point, there's not much to see until you get to 370.
I do like the smell of it.
So we're 6 minutes, 335. We've got 65 degrees to go.
It smells like peanuts.
So we're in a good trajectory. So what you want to do is you go like, start extrapolating the numbers, and that's what you're always going to be doing in your head.
So we're going up by twos now.
You basically want to go like
twos and threes.
How do I get 400 degrees in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So you got 58 degrees, and you're
and
at
you got
630.
3.5 minutes.
Right. So figure out if you need more heat or less heat.
I'm never good at math. Not What's on that? The fly.
Yeah. No. No. So here, let's say we're at 645.
Yeah.
So we have 3 1/3 minutes to go, and we're at 350. So 50 degrees, what's the rate of rise? 3.
So that's so right where we are at.
So we're at about 18, so 36. So in 54 degrees, so we'll be very close.
We're close. We're right where we want to be, yeah?
Yeah. We're a little bit ahead of it. We could actually turn it down a half a notch to 2.4, yeah. But that's the kind of extrapolating you do all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, okay. Yep. And so now they're a little browner.
Yep.
We're approaching, still small.
We're approaching caramelization. Yeah.
What do you call that one?
That's called an elephant ear.
So you have a shell that has no center, it's just shell.
That's a more common problem with certain genetic coffees in Kenya. It's less common in Colombia. Unless perhaps this was a cultivar from Kenya that was transplanted. So we're at 8.5. We need 7.3. We need 30. We need 27. Yeah, we're pretty good.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to be right on target.
And when you get good at this, you'll do it to the second. You get exactly where you want.
Yeah.
When you're. Done caramelizing.
When it starts to smell like smoke, a little.
That's post caramelization.
That's post caramelization.
That's usually getting ready for development. That's approaching the crack. So here, pretty
you
close.
You know, when you burn the chaff a little, it gets that smoky. I heard the crack.
Yeah, that was a rogue bean.
It gets that smoky cooked coffee flavor, and that's right about where we are, right?
Yeah.
I'm familiar with that out of my machine, smelling it.
So here we're a little light. Well, it's interesting, the cracking's starting a little earlier than usual. So turn your gas down to 1.8.
Get used to your.
Yeah, it's pretty tricky. And then let's see what you got. Let's look for texture. And okay. Still got some bumps on the.
Still a little bumpy.
This is good. This is development time. This is the most important part of the roast, the next 2 minutes.
Didn't get anything there.
You let it sit for a second, then you pull it out, because you got to fill up that
broth. Oh, okay.
Broth.
Oh, yeah, I see, that made a difference.
Right. Oh, good.
Still a little bumpy.
That's good. I like to leave a little bit of the wrinkles in the bean.
I noticed that when you did the last one.
You told me smooth it out, it's going to be burnt.
Yeah.
In my opinion, yeah. So we're 401, 11 minutes. We're 3, 2, 6, 7, so we need a little more gas. So 2.2.
Could you roast peanuts in this thing?
Yeah.
It's not far, is it?
So I'm stalling. Needs more gas. When it stops, that's called stalling. You definitely don't want it to stall. And that happens when it converts from endothermic to exothermic. It needs more juice. So 2, 4, 6, 2, 6, so it's 12 minutes, so 12, 19, that's good. We'll be 13 and a half if we're lucky.
It looks like you're going to grow a little more, yeah?
Yeah, but they're small beans.
Oh, that's right.
They're quite
small. They look
small
to me, that's
yeah.
why.
So we're 410 at 1230. This is going to be perfect. Depending on what's going on, we'll be done anywhere from 418 to 421 or so.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Some beans are more fun to roast than others.
Yeah.
Because the indicators are clearer and just more aesthetically pleasing. This is one of my favorite beans to roast.
What is this one?
It's a Colombia Nariño.
So if you go to Colombia, will they make you good coffee?
No.
They make good coffee, but they don't make it, or they create good coffee.
Turn that down.
So we're at 420 and 13 and 15. 420 degrees.
Okay, we're done. Let me just double check. Yeah.
It looks good to me.
We're done, so. That's it.
Beautiful.
And then open that to cool it. And then let them sit. Same, this is a mini version of that. The hot
is there
air is being
underneath?
Sucked. Yeah, it's being sucked out. That's part of this.
Okay.
And then we'll turn this off.
Because we're done. Cool.
And then we let it cool down to below 200 degrees so it doesn't warp the...
So you do know that this is like an experience of a lifetime for someone like me, right?
That's great.
You do this every day, and...
That's awesome.
How many people get to do something like this and ask you the questions? So this is really cool. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm delighted.
What's cool is that we recorded the thing, and it might be 3 hours, but I bet if I played this, I'd get so many people who would listen to the whole thing and rapt attention. I really believe that. You know what I mean? Because...
Cool. Delighted. I'm leaving that open to let it cool.
Yeah.
Because we're done.
They look good. So this one's a little lighter.
Yeah, so 66, 66, 36, 34, 33 and a half.
I have days where my mental acuity is really, really good. And then days where I couldn't. Like, my wife said to me I had really bad apnea last night, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I feel just really numb today. Can't recall things. And Mercer Oaks is the name of that place that had the really good coffee. It's a golf course. You ever hear of that?
No. Yeah. Is it a new name or something that was something
else? No, I think the place has been there a long time. If you go out... past on Quaker Bridge Road, go past Quaker Bridge Mall, you go up over that little bridge and you make a left, and it's down there on the right hand side about a mile in.
Okay.
There's a golf course and it's in there, And in the clubhouse, whenever they have coffee, the coffee is always really good. I don't. When I go back there, I'm gonna say, what kind of coffee do you guys use?
And you can look some of the stuff up on the web. Find little stories about the farmers and all.
So tell me about that thing. I designed that hoist or whatever that you have there. That is really cool.
So I contacted.
Does it move back and forth or?
It goes up and down.
Yeah.
It's hell. Someone who gets sick of lifting 154-pound bags.
I can only imagine.
Which is what I did for years. That stainless steel yoke I designed, I had a TIG welded for me by a guy who makes these for slaughterhouses.
Oh, really?
And I had him dimension it, and it's TIG welded, and it's food-grade steel.
That's really cool. Okay.
So when we get our bags in, they come in pallets. We've got a forklift there.
Right.
I forklift it in, sit it on the pallet. Lift the bag up and then lower it to be over one of the brutes. Get my box knife out, slit it, and lift it up. And
it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, neat.
Getting that hoist up there with that huge wrist pin was not trivial.
Oh, I could imagine.
I had to do it by myself on a ladder.
Really?
No, trivial. So I had it on my shoulder, and I was going like, how do I get that pin in to hold it? Because I wanted it to be able to swing and swivel. That was like, let me seal this. Now you have three. Each one is so different. They're all so different. You'll be able to get insight.
I'm going to be wired on coffee.
Yeah. But the reason why I wanted to do, that's just a heat thing. And Teflon.
Still cool.
Yeah. I've got two of them. I rebuilt that one that, you know, you have to have almost two of everything when you're in production.
Could imagine. You got to have a backup, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you make honey straws with that?
Oh.
That's how you make them, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we could dial in the. It's got a heat sensor. You just dial it in for whenever you want. Should I turn this off for you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's like a bayonet or something. Or... And the next time you come, we should spend time here.
Here, stand with me so I can... Because you turned yourself off and I want to catch this.
The next time you're here, we should spend time in our lab. You can see... all different kinds of equipment, some of which you might not recognize or might recognize. But we can get...
What's your point, Ned, is about 10, 12 machines.
Yeah, like all different kinds of grinders and vacuum extractors and experimental extractors. And it's the lab area, packed with ASTM sieves for calibrating grinders. But we can learn. I can show you how to make a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And teach you the difference between what bitter and sour taste like, the difference between over-extraction and under-extraction. Because it's all about taste. I mean, everything we're doing here is attempting to approach... We're applying heat to the bean in a very, very specialized way just so we can make it taste sweet. That's really what we're doing. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, easier said than done. It's years of...
I always thought about a bean in a scale of 1 to 10. And you want to extract maybe a 6 or a 7 out of it. But once you get to 8, it's going to taste terrible. Right? And you're trying
to
apply... you're trying to apply the right heat to the bean so that you can make the 6 or the 7 the right amount of extraction material... You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well,
philosophically, it's a
I can make it more scientific. You want to take about 20% of what the coffee has to offer, and
it's that
and
small.
Stick it into the cup. Yeah.
Really, I thought it would be more than that.
No,
I always envisioned it was more.
Yeah, coffee is 97.5% water. 98.5% water,
yeah.
And the solubles by weight. Or I think it's by weight or something like 20 1% in an ideally extracted cup.
I had no idea. I really would have thought we would have been going for more.
If you want, next time we can pull out a refractometer and I can show you.
Yeah. No, I believe you.
Yeah. But that's really what's going on, is you're getting the cup. The coffee bean is donating good tasting, what we call primary organoleptics. It's donating good tasting flavor molecules to the cup. And if you go over, if you go under 20%, it tastes like tea and it tastes weak and sometimes sour. If you go over, it's going to be bitter. And not to be confused with brew strength. We're talking about extraction strength. Yeah, not to be confused with extraction strength and brew strength. Brew strength can be, you add proportionately way too much coffee to water.
What I said, I like it that way.
Yeah.
I want to taste my coffee.
Yeah. You might change.
Yeah.
You might see, after having that cup that I hand brewed for you, and then next time we'll do another one, you're going to eventually come to me and say, how come I can't get my coffee to taste like that?
Okay.
And it's going to break down to particle size, water composition, and ratio of coffee to water. That's really what it's going to come down to.
Just hold this here. I have got one more question for you.
Yeah.
If I make coffee in the morning, so I get the consistency. If I make my coffee in the morning and I want to take it with me all day, if I put it in a carafe, all good, or is it going to degrade during the day?
Coffee is a colloidal suspension. So eventually, depending on how you made it and how you filtered it, will determine kind of how it lasts during the day. Putting aside heat, the best thermos of a properly brewed cup of coffee will keep it warm for 8 hours. Like the Zojirushi or the Nissan thermoses, they're pretty good. But if you poured it through a coffee filter and your particle size was right, if the planets were aligned and you brewed a really good cup, it'll taste the same and pretty good all throughout the day.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about shape shifting of the flavors. The flavor will nevertheless shift. As it gets cooler, you might detect more high notes, more of the treble acidity. And you might not have everything you had when the heat was driving the aromatics.
Okay. And how about reheating coffee?
Absolutely no.
Don't do it.
Reheating will, in a nutshell, particularly if you reheat it with a microwave, which will excite the molecules, you'll re-extract and over-extract, and it's a guaranteed way to get a bitter cup of coffee.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Don't want to heat it up. And if it's good coffee, remember, this is kind of the theme today. If it's good coffee at room temperature, it should be sweet and clean after it's sat around in a mug and gotten and cooled off.
I've noticed coffee that sat around to room temperature does get more fruity and acidic. And I agree with you.
Heat is the enemy of your taste buds. Yeah. It masks and obscures a lot of the nuance and complexity. What it does is what I call psychosensorially. What it does is psychologically to your senses, it tricks you into thinking it might be better than it really is because it's driving the aromatics, which are the majority of what your brain is telling you is tasting good.
Yeah.
Pinch your nose and drink a cup of coffee and you won't have any flavor. So the olfactory piece is huge.
We know when we taste honey, right? You're supposed to suck in and breathe the whole time to try and get it. It's the same way when you...
It's normal called person, retronasal. It's
when
called,
when a normal person takes a sip of coffee, should they be drinking? Is there
if there's crazy,
a right way or wrong way?
If they're not self-conscious and they're and they're really wanting that experience, it should be... It'll be... You aerate what's called the retronasal area and you'll taste stuff that you can't taste just from doing a sip.
Okay.
Or just from guzzling, you know, your cup.
So if you're at home and you really want to take those first couple, you ever hear this, that, and I know this is contrary to what we talked about, but usually like one of the first sips and then everything else is more of the same. Once you get some of that taste on your tongue, your body loses the ability to find the nuance, right? But
it depends. It depends on your training. It depends on your palate sensitivity, and it depends on what your focus is to what you're tasting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a pretty good palate, and I'm tasting every sip and bite of everything that goes in my mouth because that's kind of the way I'm trained. And part of it is building a memory bank of taste so you have something to compare it to. But if you're not paying attention, you won't taste it because your brain is not focusing on that. Basically, there's a neurochemical response. There's the synapse of your papillae, of your taste buds, that are telling your brain you're tasting something, and it's digging into your database to see what it is you've tasted. If you're just drinking or eating but not focusing on what it tastes like, it's all lost. So a significant part of having a good palate and being able to recognize the nuance and complexity and the depth and the vibrancy and the balance of a cup, all of which are important factors in my profession, is learning to analytically taste. And that's training.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a genetic predisposition that helps, but training can help significantly to be able to taste all that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we have some people, we have different customers. We have some people that come in search of what I call CDS, caffeine delivery system, where it's like they hold their hand out, you stick a cup of caffeine in their hand, and they pay you and they're gone.
Yeah.
And then on the other extreme, it's someone who comes in and is excited and say, what's the latest crop, or when is the new Ethiopia coming in, or what do you have that will give me, you know, tangerine, tamarind, and chocolate and blueberries? I mean, they'll give you a profile, and your job is to match their desire for what they want to taste with the beans that we currently have that are current crop.
I never ask you this. Are you a foodie?
Oh, big time.
Foodie.
Big time. I have trouble going out because it's all happening in my kitchen.
I'm a weekend foodie.
Yeah.
I made a roast compoyo from America's Test Kitchen. You watch that show?
Yeah.
And you know, you watch 20 shows of theirs and you see the one recipe and go, that's the right recipe, right? Yeah. And then you make it and see how it turns out and then how you would adjust it.
I do that every day when I'm cooking.
Yeah.
And baking. I'm a sourdough baker, so to give you an idea of am I a foodie, I buy local heirloom wheat berries that are grown within 50 miles of my house, and I mill them myself the day that I'm getting ready to bake.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't take anything for granted. I know all the, usually when you look around, there are farmers, at least two local farmers that hang out in our shop, but I know just about all the local growers and farmers and the food people.
How cool is that?
That's my world. Yeah. That's my devotion.
I guess it stands to reason, right? If you're this way here.
This is all part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, someday I'll be brave enough to cook you something.
Yeah. Oh, I would love it. Not meant to be intimidating. I would love it. Yeah. I love food.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Dave.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
Delighted. This was the first flush toilet factory in the eastern U.S.
This was?
Yeah, Lambertville Pottery.
I didn't know that.
There were two huge, beautiful brick refractory kilns with smokestacks in the back where our dumpsters are now.
Oh, I had no idea.
In the 1880s, yeah. I've got pictures of a horse-drawn parade float going down Bridge Street with the throne on the...
Oh, how funny is that?
It's hilarious, yeah.
Oh, I never knew that about this building.
So this space was basically empty. It was several different things, but it was basically 44 by 44 box. So I had to bring in electricity, bring in gas. I brought in everything. There was nothing here.
Yeah, I can imagine it wasn't meant to be a separate entity, right? Everything was...
Yeah, so I saw this as an opportunity. I got to design it from scratch. So the high ceilings were perfect for getting good airflow for all this stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted this to be showcased where people could see it. I wanted it to be an educational place where people could learn from watching as they enjoyed coffee, you know, coffee. So yeah, it was, I, when you walk in here, if your eyes aren't fully open, you'll go like, where am I? Like, what is this? There's a forklift and they're serving coffee? Like, what?
Yeah, that's... I mean, when you walk in, you look at it and you go, this is really weird. But then you understand what it is and
it's a totally
it completely fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a completely functioning factory for the food
that
we serve.
What's up there?
That's our loft.
Yeah.
It's empty right now because we had a fire.
Oh, really?
And we're waiting for the drywall to be replaced.
Okay.
It was an electrical fire that melted water in our water system that self-extinguished. How lucky we are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that's our water manufacturing facility up there.
Oh, okay.
That's where we make our water. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's a really cool, the remineralizing system. Yeah. That's the battery charger for the forklift. This is all combustion stuff. And then pallets for coffee and supplies. I put in that garage door.
I don't know why. I remember seeing this place before I even knew you were long ago. And I remember some promotion for Lambertville. So, Dave, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've certainly enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And I invite you back for the next chapter. Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, people are going to want to come join us.
They're welcome to. It's fine.
Yeah. Cool.
This is part of our Rojo's trademark is Rojo's Roastery and then the ellipsis, .. Raise your coffee IQ. That's what my mission is.
So to close out this short little episode, Dave and I went on to talk about a couple of things, clean up our mess from the day, but it had been 3 hours and he had some place to be. He was actually late. So, man, what a day. I had a real blast. I've talked to him subsequently, told him this episode was going to get produced, and we did talk about the follow-up he hinted at the end. And maybe when cooler weather sits in and beekeeping is not so intense, we'll go back to Rojo's and have a lot of fun with that. I have since roasted coffee, and as I said in the close last time, it's made a pretty big difference because now, once you know what good is, it's a lot easier to try and achieve that. Before, it was just kind of throw stuff in the machine, see what happens, and come out the other side. I'm at the point where I'm out of green beans, so I think I have to see what I could do to source some more, because I've roasted everything that I had at my disposal. Really enjoying roasting coffee, and if you ever get a chance to try it, you should. It's a fun hobby. If not, go to your local coffee shop, and after listening to this, appreciate what they do. And certainly, if you're in the New Jersey area, both Lambertville and Princeton, visit Rojo's. I don't think I need to tell you that you'll get a good cup of coffee.